Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we help enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, and ordained minister, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Everybody, and welcome. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiethawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the light workers. And you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We all go by different titles, names, labels, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querens, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers. And that list, well, it goes on and on and on, and it is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our very own unique individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits are lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Chris from Curious Times today and Renee Richards, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We'll be doing readings shortly, and if you would like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. And if you'd like a reading, I really urge you to call early and soon. Chris is in the chat room, and she can answer any questions you may have. I don't multitask well, so she is the one you IM, and she's the one you bug if you want to know where you are in the queue. We do take the calls as they come in. So unless, you know, the switchboard does strange things and jiggles around a lot, we will take the calls exactly as they have come in. So please be patient with us, because there seem to be quite a few of you already. Ken Quiethawk can be found at nativestorytellers.com if you want to experience more of that amazing voice. I'm at barbaradelong.com. And our special, special guest today, Renee Richards, can be found at, take a deep breath, psychicmediumreneerichards.com. Renee is probably one of the most spectacular ladies I've ever had the honor to meet and today, happily, work with. She is a talented and gifted beyond belief psychic medium. She has a spiritual aspect to her that is amazing and an integrity that defies explanation or description. She has a sense of balance that is so rare to find in this field. And she has maintained her humility and her honor and her integrity, even though she is absolutely has got a following that will blow you out of the water. I can't tell you how many times I've found my jaw sitting on the table when I've dropped it because she has just pulled something out of the ether that, you know, there's no way she couldn't possibly have known. She has been in this field for a very long time. She, you know, has a lot of notches on her gun belt, so to speak, and she has a quality about her that is so refreshing and so delightful to find in someone that has been in this field for so long. So often people get a little blown away by their own importance. I have often heard her say she just didn't know, and to me that gets the greatest respect of anyone. Because when somebody can admit that they just don't have an answer for somebody, that means that they are absolutely being so honest with everyone that they read that it is amazing. It is an honor and a privilege to have her here today. She's dropped out of the chat room at least out of the queue at least once. So we're going to pull her in. Hi, Renee, are you there?
I sure am. My goodness, Barbara, thank you so much for such a nice introduction. It's really very beautiful. Yes, and you're right, I did drop. I went somewhere, I don't know where, and then I'm back again.
Well, I channeled it, so, you know, I can't repeat it, but I usually just kind of let the introductions go because it's always prettier if I just say what comes out of my mouth instead of trying to think of something that's appropriate. Actually, they can go to your website and read your bio if they really want to know all the ins and outs and all the details of the things you've done. But your work is a better explanation of who you are and what you do.
Thank you. I try to just, I'm just an ordinary person, I really am, and I stumble and fall like everybody else, and I think that is really a large part of my calling is just talking regular to people, you know, because I'm just like everybody else. Boy, I make mistakes, and I fall, and that's why I like to talk about it, too. And I just try to be honest about who I am. I don't think I have a big head. That's one thing.
I
have more confidence in myself sometimes, but because I get very nervous when I get out of my comfort zone. But I just could not tell you no. I was very attracted to doing it, the show. And I felt like I was guided to do the show. I really did. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this show. And I was so pleased that you even invited me. And some of the things you said have just shocked me. I mean, it makes me feel so good. You know, there's sometimes, and you know, you think, should I be doing this? Am I doing it right? Or what am I doing? And thank God we question ourselves because we have to always check in. And you've been doing this an awful long time, too. My goodness.
Yes. I've got about 50 years under my belt now. And
no, I can't. That's a long time.
It's a very long time. But the wonderful part about it all is I have made so many mistakes, I can relate to just about everything. I mean, there are a few things that I cannot relate to, but they are so bizarre and weird that I don't, you know, I say I don't believe anybody would say any of them on the radio, but every time I think something like that, someone spews out something that is just like, did she say what I think she just said? And it's kind of like, damn, I wasn't prepared for that one. So, I think the wonderful part about this is that it is the fact that we're human. It is the fact that we've made almost every mistake out there. And I kind of, when I did serve in the pulpit for 5 years, I found that instead of trying to be pompous and really pushy on spirituality of any sort, I just told them about the mistakes that I had made and basically said, look, this is what happened. This is what I did. This was wrong. And so So if you get this situation, make your own damn mistake. I've already made this one. So, you know, and you know, that seemed to go over better than, you know, doing chapter and verse about, you know, the mystery schools and everything. It was like, you know, when you have someone that's attacking you, understand that it's a mirror that's put in front of you so that you can see
right.
what you could become if you sank to that level. And let me tell you, when that lesson hit me, it was like, damn, there is a sermon. And I was right in the middle of this woman blasting me, and I looked at her and I said, God, you look good today. Did you do something different with your hair? And she just looked at me, and the veins were popping out, and her face was all red. And I said, that color really becomes you, Shirley. And you know, I want to thank you for the gift you've given me today. And I walked away. And she just stood there sputtering for a good 5 minutes after I left. And it was like, holy mackerel, that was not only, you know, taking higher ground, but I got a sermon out of it. So...
Yeah, and it makes her feel good eventually, and it makes you feel good because you've learned that process. Yeah, that mirroring thing is really interesting.
I agree. I have to admit, even though she says hi, girlfriend, when she sees me, I don't turn my back on her. You know, I'm not stupid. I know,
right?
You know, you have to let cement set for a very long time before it's stable. But you know, I know you've been in the field a long time. Just kind of give, for those of my people that are in the chat room and stuff who don't know who you are, and I can't imagine there's anybody that doesn't, but for those of the people that on Stitcher Radio who are going to be listening in their cars someplace, you know, down the road, want to just kind of explain how you came to this field?
Well, I was born this way.
Oh, dear. One of those.
Yeah. And when I was a young girl, everything was moving all the time. And when I would go to bed at night, it would just, it was incredible. Things would be flying through the air. I would see people and faces. And I was constantly running from them and screaming. And my poor parents probably thought I was insane. And there was so much also going on in the home, too. But, yeah, I was born this way. So as time went on, it increased and it changed and it got stronger in different ways and lit up in other ways. And so I just pretty much ignored it for a long time. But, and, you know, I never really thought I was that different until one time, and I had started reading. I had started doing, talking to people and giving them readings and not really even knowing I was giving readings. But one of the times that really just put the brakes on was I was sitting on the Jefferson River in Montana and this big blue light came. And I was so used to seeing lights, but in this light this time was, it looked like Jesus or the Christ or however you want to word it. And he said to me, he goes, why are you so stubborn? Why can't you accept the fact that you can receive messages from God, that God loves you, God loves everybody? What is this that you have in your head about you're not worthy enough? And I just sat there with my mouth open, and I said, I don't know. I'd never had thought about it. And he said, everyone is worthy, and then pretty much disappeared. Well, that was my time at the nursing home, which was in the 80s, where I worked for 10 years, and I learned so much about death and dying because they would die, and then I would see them standing next to the bed. And they would be waving, and they'd be happy, and they'd go, don't you cry, and off they'd go.
Yeah.
So I knew there was more. I knew that, and then it was like I was ready to go. So started reading everything. Then it got to a point where it got uncontrollable, where I was seeing lower entities because I was seeing at a lower vibration then. And so then I'm running scared. And I got a good teacher who I worked with almost 10 years that taught me to ground and to clear my field and then work from there. And it all changed. Everything changed. And then it was grown-up time. You know, it was like grown-up time. Everything became more realistic. It wasn't so like running. I spent more time running than I did standing there saying, what is this? So it took me a long time to get there.
I thought I was faking. It took 7 years in the spiritualist church for them to convince me that I wasn't faking. And, I kept giving messages and talking about people, and the minister kept saying, you know, you're a natural. And I said, oh, don't be ridiculous. I'm faking, but I'm a good one. And he finally, he finally convinced me. It was sort of like, it comes very naturally to you, so you don't have to work at it. That's why it feels like you're faking. It's a natural. You just click in. And so after that, it was like, and people call this work. This is so much fun. I just love doing readings. I'm a reading junkie, actually. And I don't get them, but I give them because I have so much fun giving them.
I had got a reading one time years ago, and even when I was a little girl, and he told me some things, but he said, you have the gift. And I go, I don't know what you're talking about. Off I ran. And then I got another reading, and the things that he said in my life did come true. But then I had another reading, and the woman sat across from me, and she goes, you have talent. I go, well, yeah, I see things, but that doesn't mean that I can make sense out of it. And she said, no, you have talent. And then that gave me a clue, too. You know, it's so funny, though, when people tell you things, you're like, no, not me. I can't do it. I can't do it. And then it just became so natural. And that's why validating, too, is so important to me, because I always think, you know, if I can't validate, then I've gone nuts. I might as well get the white coat out.
When they threw me under the bus and had me standing in front of 300 people, and, you know, the minister just said, go ahead, do the mediumship. And I looked at him and I said, but you know, he said, yeah, go ahead. And I did. and you know, he just, I mean, it was hysterical because I said to him under my breath as I was walking up to the podium, I've made a fool of myself in front of larger crowds than this.
That'll
and,
work. Yeah.
Sure. I was so fascinated that I had actually, I knew I was going to have to do the mediumship, and so I had paid friends to come so I could pick on them and not seem too stupid. And I'd given them each, I'd given them each $20. I said, look, come so that I don't, you know, look too ridiculous. And then we'll go have some wine or something afterwards. Well, they started before me. They never showed up at that event. And so I stood up there and looked around. It was like, holy, they have stood me up. And they had a wonderful time giggling, wondering just how bad I was how bad it was going to be, but it wasn't bad at all, and everybody was so respectful and so kind, and you know, and I thought gullible at the time. But it's like magic, and it's just the coolest thing in the world. And as far as I'm concerned, so long as you give it away in pretty good proportion to what you actually charge for, you've got it made. So
yeah, and I think that's important too. The importance, I think, of bringing peace to people is the most amazing thing. As soon as I write their name down in my book for an appointment, it starts, and it just amazes me the peace that you can bring to someone by connecting to their loved one. Now, does it work 100% of the time? No. You know, I mean, nobody's 100%. If we were, we'd be, you know, up there somewhere floating around.
Yeah, we wouldn't be here, yeah.
Right. And I'll always say, you know, sometimes it comes so coded or strange. It comes roundabout, you know. You never know how it's going to come through. But the gifts that you can give to people, I think that is the thing that absolutely just stuns me sometimes. And I just sit and think about how I would feel, you know, wanting to connect to a loved one. So I know that it has a lot of magic.
Now I've got to ask you, you are a gifted medium. Do you get your relations, your friends, do they come to you? Because I am finding that while I can pull in other people's pets and people, my family, you know, gives me, you know, a wide berth. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, I know you're out there, but...
Well, my family that's on the other side, yeah, they come to me. Like, can I read my family that's here? No, I won't do that. I won't read any of my sons or my husband unless he has a family member standing next to him, and then I'll kind of say, well, and I don't know what it is with my husband. You know, we've been together all these years, and he still doesn't believe me, so... but I have to really give them something. But my family, my personal family members, yes, they do. They do. That's how I know family has passed. My aunt passed, and I saw her and heard her calling my name before I knew she had passed. And it's not 100% all the time. But, yeah, my family members do come, not often. My father's been with me lately because I've been writing a book. Mm-hmm. And most of it is, you know, dealing with him, and because he was very emotionally and physically abusive, and so he's been around. But I won't read any friends or family. Isn't that terrible? I don't want to get into any trouble. I tried to read a friend. And some things came through, and I started struggling with, do I tell her, do I not tell her? And I said, you know what, this I can't do this with friends.
I had a husband like yours. He was a biblical theologian, and he kept saying he was into UFOs and everything, so that, you know, he did believe that angels were extraterrestrials and all sorts of stuff like that. So he knew how to go outside the box, but he did not, you know, we were only together for 3 years in all, but he kept saying, I don't know what you're doing. I don't believe in what you're doing, but I know whatever it is you are doing, you're doing it very well. And I thought, just wait till you get on the other side, buddy.
And that's what I say to him, too. It's so weird. Like, I'll say, you know, I'll describe someone, and he says, well, that's – and I won't tell him who it is. And he goes, oh, that sounds like Olton. I go, yeah, yeah. You know, it is Olton. And he goes, well, why would Olton come to me? And I said, because he's showing you something. And, you know, on and on we go. And then when if it comes true, then he's like, yeah, yeah, I get you. I get you. I understand. And then it kind of dies away again, you know, and then I'm just Renee again. And with the kids, it's the same thing, you know. They just look at me like, yeah, okay, right.
Well, I think, though, that those people that have this kind of a gift need to have people around them that keep them grounded. And I think that having an anchor like that is very, very important. Otherwise, you're off in la-la land together, and you'll never do anything. So,
right. So
you know, it keeps one foot on the earth plane at all time, which I think is a good way to go. We've got a lineup here.
Okay.
Chris has been very busy. And so I think we had best get going here and see if we can hit as many of these people as are here, because I could gab with you all day and they could just sit there for all I care, but
I know they are here
for readings.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, we've got Alfina here. Hi, Alfina. How are you doing today?
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
How can we help?
I've been trying to call your show for the past 2 weeks, and I haven't gone in again.
Well, here you are. So how can we help?
I actually have a specific question for Renee.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm wondering what you see happening between me and Ryan, like, in 2014.
Oh, I know who this is. This is Winslow, Arizona. Winslow, Arizona. Right?
No, actually, I'm from Pinon, but it's, like, north of Winslow.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't know. I always associate that with you. Okay, Ryan. Now, is he the one I talked to you about before?
Yes, we spoke about him and another person, Gail.
Yeah, but the Ryan, he's the last one, right? He's the one you've been with the most.
Yes, the one of yeah.
So, what are you worrying about with him?
I think it just—he just kind of makes me like—he drives me crazy to the point where I'm like, "Why is it I'm with you?" But then at the same time, it's like I love him with all my heart and stuff. And it's just like right now, we're kind of in that phase of, I guess, like reestablishing our relationship. But at the same time, I want more of a commitment from him.
Right, and I think that's where you were at last time, too. And you need to find your voice, young lady. You need to find your voice, because I think I felt this before, but this is how I'm feeling this time, is that you need to speak up to him. You need to let him know what you want. You need to give him a time period. This can't go on and on and on and on. It's making you crazy. And I liked him last time. I felt that there were some things about him that were a little immature. But I felt that if you would be honest with him and lay out exactly what you want, that you were going to get it. And so that's really what I have to tell you, that he's going to keep doing what he's doing until you draw that line and you say, look, this is what I want and need. Then you won't be going crazy. Then you won't be wondering. And this is what you kind of have a pattern like this. And it's not bad, it's not good, it just is. That if they don't give you what you want, you know, that you need in a man or a relationship, whatever it is, then you get ungrounded and then you get unsure and then, oh, my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing, when you do know what you're doing. And so you need to lay down the law. Barbara, what do you think?
Actually, when I look at the cards that I pulled for her, it feels to me as though she has a cycle here that she's repeating over and over and over again of being with people that are emotionally not available to her to the degree that she wants. And from what I can see, you're going to set yourself free from this pattern at some point in time within the next 3 or 4 months and spend some time alone with yourself, working on yourself, and then I see you attracting to yourself someone who has the same ideas as to what relationship is, and it feels to me after that time frame that you will find someone that is a companion, a mate, and somebody that has the same desires for level of companionship and level of relationship that you're looking for. I just think you're in a cycle here, and that if you continue it, all you'll do is frustrate yourself, and then at some point move on to somebody else who will frustrate you, and then you'll move on to somebody else who will frustrate you. If, as I'm seeing in the cards, you break that pattern and you spend some time working on yourself, I feel that something quite similar to a soulmate is coming.
What do you think about that?
I think more than ever, like, I agree with Renee. Like, I just, you know, like, I believe I have to tell him exactly what I want in a, like you said, give him a time frame and see what happens from there, because I never really did. I just kind of used to withdraw myself from him if I wasn't getting what I wanted.
Yeah, that's how somebody who is acting like doesn't have a good maturity level. You need to be able to speak up and say what you want. And I agree with Barbara, though, that this is a cycle with you. And I also, that if this doesn't work out, I also agree that there's somebody better coming for you, definitely.
Well, you got it.
Well, thank you so much.
You got two opinions here, and I would weave them together and use the wisdom in both. But thanks for calling.
Thank you so much, Renee.
You're welcome. Isn't that interesting, though, how you pulled those cards and how they said almost the same exact thing?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I think that's so cool. Because I really don't know about tarot cards or anything. I've never, because I might have had a tarot card reading on Blog Talk somewhere at some time, but I've never actually sat down with somebody and had them lay them out and do that. I find it fascinating how accurate some people are with those things.
Well,
it's amazing.
Anyway,
I'm getting all excited. So.
I have the advantage because I created the deck of cards that I use. So they really talk to me. It's called the Cosmic Deck of Initiation, and they're circular mandalas that I painted. And so they're not traditional tarot cards at all. As a matter of fact, I departed from everything traditional when I created them because, to be perfectly honest, I couldn't read and I couldn't figure out how to use the traditional cards, so I just created my own deck. So.
Well, and I find that mandalas are very, very powerful. I use them a lot in the beginning sometimes because I have this thing. I'm kind of like Chris from Curious Times who, has attention deficit type thing where I can read, but really if I want to feel a vibration or get into it, I love to look at a picture. And so mandalas for a long time were something that I would use the energy and vibration of, and I still do use pictures, different pictures for different practices or whatever I'm doing, who knows.
Well, I'll have to send you a deck.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I mean, I would never say no, but, thank you. My dad used to say, just say shut up. Just shut up and say thank you.
Okay, shut up, Renee. We're going on to Melvin. He is one of my favorite people. Hi, Melvin. How are you doing today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call today.
It's our pleasure. How can we help?
Yes, ma'am. I just want to see, can I get a little general reading? Basically, you see life force me getting a job and a job coming up. For me?
Okay, I do. It does feel here as though there is a new balance here, and it does feel as though you're moving into a time of laughter and joy, and you're attracting new energy to yourself as you get into the April time frame. So you should be spending this time without a job working on yourself and kind of taking care of a lot of the things that you didn't take care of before you got rid of your job. And it's a time for you to sort of really look into your passions, look into the things that you really, I know you want a job, I know you have to have a job for the staples in life, but at the same time, the job should allow you to express yourself more creatively. And it does feel as though that's coming up here in the March time frame, March into April. April has law of attraction here, so it does feel as though if you put the energy out there, you'll find it coming back at you. I urge you, I encourage you, I stress that if you go outside the box and look for something that is a little weird and different, that most probably you'll find something faster than if you try to stay traditional. Renee, what are you getting?
Hi, Melvin. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you. It's glad to hear you. Yeah.
Well, that darn Barbara, she's right there about things that, and you know this, young man, and if you were here, I'd give you a little pat right on the butt, because there are things that you need to take care of that you haven't been. So those are really important, and definitely health-wise with diabetes and breathing conditions. And, I think also you are going to have to take a step back and take some time and get realigned. I don't know if you're even going to go into the same type of thing that you were doing before. It feels like you may, but it may be like on a smaller scale, not so big. But I do think that it's going to take you a while, Melvin. It's going to take you a while to get to that. But like Barbara said, the manifesting you have in your hand, you have green around you. So I know there's some healing going on or something like that. And it is the color of healing. I don't know if you've talked to somebody who maybe has done some healing work for you. Have you done that?
No, ma'am.
Because you sometimes do you call Blog Talk and maybe talk to people with that do healing on Blog Talk?
Yes, ma'am.
You bad boy. So that means that there are that energy placed around you. That seems like it might be helping you, but I'm telling you, you're really going to have to health-wise get some things in gear. Really try to pull that in, lose some weight, get things straightened up, and then I feel like employment's going to come, and you'll be able to get what you want. But you are going to, it's not going to be as large as it was before. It's going to be something smaller, which means something smaller. You know, before it felt really big, and that you were working in a big, large space. This is going to be a smaller space, but just as good. Okay, so does that help or make sense? Or?
Yes, yes, it helps. It makes sense, and it helps. You may be talking about maybe at a group home setting, working with clients.
Yes, something like that, something smaller, nursing home, something like that. I don't know if you're thinking about those things, but you need to be thinking in that direction. But I will tell you that if you don't have your health within certain limits, I don't know if you're going to get hired. So you need to keep that in mind and make sure that you start working on that right now, okay? Because health, to me, is a big issue with you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to get my A1C level down, but, you know, I go walking every other day about 3.5 miles, maybe 5 miles, and I'm starting to eat right and stuff, so I'm very much aware. But when you said my breathing, the breathing aspect of that, I just catch myself with allergies, you know, wheezing a lot. And you know, I've been to the doctor. They have given me medication for that. And I thought maybe it would clear it up, but it will come right back.
Right. I think it's allergies, too. I don't think it's anything
It's not anything in danger of me, is it?
No, because it comes and goes, so it's got to be like asthma. It's allergies or something you're allergic to.
Yeah.
And I bet if they did a test, your histine level would be super high or whatever they call that. So it's just something to – that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the diabetes, you know, because – they're going to do a physical on you, and you need to get those levels right. You need to start eating correctly, you know, and exercising. Now, you say you're walking twice a day, but sometimes you got to, you know, click that up a notch or two to really kick in. But anyway, so I'll let you go with that, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Melvin, for calling. All right. Love
Bye.
You all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. He's one of the nicest men. I love him to pieces. He is so sincere and trying so hard. I just think he's, I like him a lot. I got no real reason. I just like him a lot. He's a likable person. Okay, we've got Lisa here. Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you, Barbara? Hi, Renee.
Hi.
Well, how can we help today?
Wow. Your presence is very soothing, first of all. Thank you for that.
Wow, that's easy.
Yeah, just been like going through a lot of different breakthroughs literally right before I picked up. I just wanted to, have you take a look at, what's next for me. I guess career-wise, I mean, I just really been putting all my efforts in and just, like, wanted to stabilize my finances and just, you know, like, what do you see coming up for me?
Well, I want to tell you to stop thinking so much because you're analyzing things to death and almost giving yourself agita. I feel your stomach upset because of all the thinking you've been doing. Doesn't mean that, that you know, you should stop thinking totally, but you've just gone through what I call a Phoenix Rising energy. And Phoenix Rising means you've been reborn out of the ashes of the old. And that means that you have to let the dust settle. And you and it probably means that you have a sense of vertigo, you have a sense of you know, everything flying in all sorts of different directions. You think you're crazy, and I would say that the next year is you putting your house in order. And I mean more of your physicality in order than the life wherein you dwell. It does feel to me as though you need to focus on yourself and you need to take care of yourself. And what I'm seeing here is that there's so much intellectual stuff going on that you are negating out the spiritual and you're not allowing the spiritual to put a flow of an energetic flow of an energetic nature into your life that will move things along and help you to do all of the things that you want to do. You've made wonderful lists. You've intellectually put everything together and you've compartmentalized things and you have lists and you have all sorts of things all over the place, but you're not letting the universe do its job. And basically, I would say you probably have headaches, too. The universe is trying so hard to get through that thick skull of yours. You're panicking, and there's no need for panic, I guess is the best thing I can say to you. March is going to be a time in which you have to, it's important you take care of yourself. You go easy on yourself, and you stop beating yourself up, because there is a flow of energy here if you allow it to happen. April has magic and miracles coming for you. You just have to stop trying to, you know, one of the things that is so difficult for me to manage and for everybody I know to manage, you're trying to micromanage your own evolution. And that doesn't work. You cannot possibly conceptualize where spirit wants you to go or what spirit wants you to do because you only have the consciousness of this lifetime to apply to all of the issues that are going on in your life. Your spirit has all of eternity to apply to it and knows exactly why you have to experience certain things and you have to go in certain directions that aren't exactly on your agenda. You're, how can I put this? You're arm wrestling with the universe. You're trying to make things happen your way instead of allowing things the way they're supposed to go. From what I can tell, everything should just sort itself out beautifully by the time you get into the June timeframe, when, again, by the way, you're going to analyze everything. I'll tell you right now, it's silly to do a life evaluation, a life type of, you know, a life review when you're only in the middle of your life, but you'll do it anyhow. The thing that you need most to do right now is to put something creative into your whole agenda so that you have a channel that's open for spiritual energy to flow through. And once you have that creative energy and you don't have to paint the Sistine Chapel, you can color, you can draw, you can knit, you can crochet, you can arrange your medicine cabinet alphabetically. You can do all sorts of wonderful things that are creative. But you know, do understand that that you have to give the universe a chance to put all of its energies and all of the things that you've set out there. Do a vision board. Spend a while doing a vision board and putting your wants and your hopes and your wishes and your dreams down on a vision board so the universe has some sort of a map to work on. And then let the universe do its thing. I'm not saying sit back, eat bonbons by the fire, and wait for the job to come to the door. But I am saying allow the universe to help you with this process. You're trying to do so much of what you're doing you don't need to work at. The universe will help you. You have to step back. Renee, what are you getting?
Well, you know, right before you came on, well, right when you came on, I saw a big burst of beautiful, deep rose pink. And you said that you had been going through some transitions. Was that prior to the phone call or while you were sitting on the phone waiting?
Both.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, I just spoke to someone via text, two friends, and, yeah, they're really, really amazing people. So, you know, one of them sent me a message that I just really needed to hear, and it was like, wow, how did you know that's exactly what I needed to hear? You know, we're very connected.
Okay, because I felt like you were going through something while you were actually on hold, and then when you came on, it was like this burst, just burst into the room of this love color that is just so beautiful. I love that color. When I see that color, it's Mother Mary, it's Kuan Yin, it's that higher motherly love. And so I guess that's what your friends gave you. And then probably being connected to the show, because it's coming from such a place of love too, it's absolutely perfect timing for you. I agree with Barbara that there sometimes, and I know this with myself, the more I try to squeeze an answer out of something, and, you know, black and white, one way or this way, it gets very diffused and very confusing. And when I sit back and I say, I'm just going to let things flow the way that they need to flow, and it will show me which way I need to go, and it will happen. So it's just a matter of time. You are strongly being guided by your higher self. And that color has just flooded your energy. So you're coming from a higher heart. Know that the decisions that you're making is coming from the heart. The things that you really want are going to come true. It just takes time. And like Barbara said, a vision board. Oh, I love those. I do them all the time. They work wonderful. And it's part of manifesting. You have the ability. We all do. It's just getting the tools right to make it happen and to believe in yourself. And I kind of think that at times, you're doing, like Barbara said, micromanaging or a little bit, and it can make you sick. But right now, you are glowing with that color, so...
Thank you.
I would definitely ride the tide.
Yeah, you did. Well, that's a color that everyone uses to describe me. Like my friends, and like I tend to be the one that, well, these two ladies give me that space and freedom, but it's like they always describe me as the one that's very motherly.
And, you know, that's very strong femininity also. It's the divine feminine. And you have to watch out with that. That you don't do too much of that, because that's the motherly energy too. So you're one of those, like if you're in a group, you'll be the one handing out all that love. Just remember to keep some for you too. Go ahead, sorry.
No, that's why I love them. It's a very balanced, so like I can rely on them for the same thing, and that hasn't been the case for years. So it's refreshing that I could be that, but they're that way as well. So there's a balance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, it's true. It's literally what you think about micromanaging everything. And it's me creating the opportunities, because I'm not looking for a job. I'm an entrepreneur. So it's really about, like, wanting to have a solid financial foundation. And it's, you know, it gets to be simple or you know, grounded, and that's really like just what I want in my life.
Well, you can do that. Have you already started your what you want to do, your business?
I have. It's just
every morning when you wake up, see yourself doing that, making money, being happy, everything working, and when you go to bed at night, do the same thing. See it happening over and over and over. I use a symbol of my own for things that I need. If I need more money to meet bills or something like that, or I need this or that, I use my own symbols that I use when I'm doing like prayer work, and then I do my manifesting then. And I know that it works. I've seen it work. So I know that you have the ability to do it. Everybody does, but you're even more aware of it because you've already done some of it. So don't give up, you know. Just do it, like, with less clenched jaws and headaches and stomach aches and holding
it
tight.
Yeah, my God. Yeah, it's been one of those days. Like, I've, you know, went through my own, literally on the phone, and then somebody else called me a couple hours ago in my family about something that was upsetting them. And so it's like, you know, being supportive and then going through my own stuff like an hour later.
And that's life.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Yeah, it'll never stop. The only thing that will change in that is the way that you react to it.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. You mentioned something, Barbara mentioned something about June. That's my birthday month, so I was like, I always contemplate in June because it's my birthday.
Well, you know, this month I would not, you know, if I had a vote in your life, which I don't, but I'll tell you what I would vote on anyhow. I would just celebrate. I would instead of making lists of things that you need to yet do, I would spend all of that time writing down all of the blessings that you have in your life and all that you have accomplished, so that when you feel unsure, you can look back at that list and you can say, damn, I have done a good job to this point. I can take a vacation. And you know, really sort of... Let yourself see all of the good things that you've done and all of the magic you have in your life. You have surrounded yourself with the best cheerleaders I have ever seen. And you know, that's friends who will support you no matter how stupid you know, no matter what kind of stupid thing you want to do. So, you know, it's like, feels right for you, well, go for it, and I'll hold your coat. I have a couple of those. It's like, are you sure you want to do this? I'm positive. Go for it. And then the phone rings for them at 3 a.m. I think I may have made a mistake. Well, did you learn something from it? Bunches. Well, then that was a good mistake. You know, if you're going to do it right. You know, no judgment, just support. And you've got some of those.
Yeah, I do. Those two definitely are like that.
And as a matter of fact, I suspect that you do the same thing for them, so that it's a great triad, and you've heard about the power of three, I'm sure.
Yes.
So so that's what you got, and you're blessed, unbelievably blessed. Actually, to tell you the truth, you know, I don't normally, you know, get into the past lives when we have this many people, but you have been with the other two ladies in a past life, and it's a cool past life. You know, it's not you were schoolgirls together in you know, the 14th century. You three ran a very successful brothel in China about 400 to 500 years ago.
That does not surprise me.
And you were, one of them was just crazy for fabric, the other crazy for color, and you were the one that managed the money. And you were very successful. You had a great time. You ended every evening sitting together and giggling over wine or whatever was the equivalent then. And you lived to be very, you know, you lived to be very old. And the cool part of this is you were not prostitutes yourself. You just figured out what the best business would be, and you started it. And you were excellent at it.
Wow.
That's sad.
Well, I like that. That's interesting. I can see that, too. I mean, it sounds, you know, it, like, resonates through me. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Okay, Lisa. Thank
you.
You for calling.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. I love past lives. Past lives are something that I just, you know, I get great joy out of. And I always look for the, you know, past lives are not random adventures of the spirit through time. They really, you know, they are marking a place and a talent and a skill and a gift that is brought forward this lifetime. So when they pop up like that, you know, there is great relevance to, you know, how you apply it to this lifetime. But I always look for the weird ones.
I think so, too. I think that it really can make you understand some things. Like, I'm scared of heights. Well, the reason why I'm scared of heights is because I died in a plane crash. And so, I mean, I can get in a plane, but if it starts getting bumpy or – I have a hard time. So there's a reason for that, you know, and once you make the connection and then you can understand it, you can deal with it better. And it's all about healing. Like her, that would help her understand her relationship with her friends, mm-hmm. you know. And I bet you if you were to ask each one, too, like what you said about them, I would probably bet that they would probably say, yes, I do love color. And the other one said, oh, I love to feel it, you know.
I love past lives. They to me, are Mary Peeler and I do them all the time on when we do Mary Mondays with Mary Peeler. And we enjoy traumatizing people. Well, you know, we take life so seriously, and to be honest with you, I truly believe that the greatest healing power out there on top of love is laughter. And if
I
you
agree.
Can get people to laugh, you've solved a big problem, because they've broken a dark tension inside of them and they've let the light in. And once the light gets in, you're sunk. You have to be happy. It takes a long time sometimes, but at least it's the beginning. We've got Kathleen here. Hi, Kathleen. Okay. How are you doing today?
Good. Hi, Barbara. Hi, Renee. How are you both?
Hi.
Doing well.
Good.
Renee, I'm going to let you go first because I do believe she wants mediumship.
Okay.
I do. I was hoping you could bring my mother in. If not, mm-hmm. my dad and my two brothers are also deceased.
Oh, boy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I see an older man who is coming through.
Okay.
This is a taller man. Now, when I say tall, I don't mean giant. I just mean, you know, like 5'11 or so.
Well, I come from a tall family, and my dad and my two brothers were tall. I mean, I'm 5'10".
You are tall.
Yeah.
I grew an inch a couple of years ago. I don't know how I did it. this is a man who was a smoker. I feel like connected with M name.
M. Okay, all three of them smoked, my dad and my two brothers. No, there's no M.
Now, what I feel like he's doing, too, is he's taking off his glasses and he's putting them in his pocket. Did he wear glasses?
All three of them did. Oh, I feel so bad.
Well, this is the older one. So this is dad that is
okay,
talking.
My father wore glasses, yeah.
Yeah, and what he's doing is he takes them off. And he says, I'm going to show you again. He folds them up and he puts them in his pocket. So that's supposed to be something that he used to
he
always
did.
Do. Okay, and that you're familiar with. To me, when I look at him, he looks very ashen and gray. Was that from...
Very sickly.
Yeah, he looks like it. Now, he's not that way now. I mean, he is when he shows me himself that way, but not... not now while he's on the other side. Now, I've got like a hazel. Does that make sense?
Hazel. I'm not familiar with the name.
Okay. But this is somebody who, compared to him, who is a female, and would this be your mother or grandmother?
No, neither one of their names were Hazel or the middle name.
But were they small compared to him?
No, my mother was 6'1", and...
Well, this is a little lady. I'm not
her
sure...
Her mother, both their mothers were small. I don't know how that worked out, how it happened. Both my grandmothers, who I never met, I've seen pictures, were small women.
Well, she is small because he has his arms out and she is almost underneath the arm and laughing. And the reason why I said Hazel and then I wanted to say Farmer is because I connect with that person that connects to you somehow. It is distinctly Hazel Farmer I'm hearing. And if that doesn't make sense, it's got to be somehow a connection in through the grandmother or great-grandmother.
Yeah, I don't know the name. And like I said, I never even met any of my grandparents. They were all deceased before I was born. And
now,
my grandfather.
Behind this person, the father figure, is...
Yeah.
Are other people, but they're not stepping forward as much as this little Hazel, who is absolutely adorable. She has lighter colored hair and blue eyes. And then I feel like there's a dog around him, too.
My parents had a German Shepherd early in their marriage, but
Oh, I'm sorry. Does he have connections, or did he, when he was younger, to horses?
My mother did.
Because there's horses in the background walking around.
I have pictures on horses.
I am actually seeing a scene. So I'm having a vision of green grass with horses walking around. Now, what he's doing is he's moving back into that, and then I can see that there are people petting the horses, and there's a dog running around. And when I look off, it looks like the land is kind of flat, but the grass is green, and there's a big tree and an old white house. And she's saying the connection for all of them is there.
Of my mom on a horse, and her two girlfriends were on a horse, and it's right in front of a white house.
With a tree. Is there a tree?
Yes.
Yeah. And she's saying this is a connection, that it's almost like a transition point for family, or where they spend time. I don't know what the heck those people do over there on the other side, but it sure looks like... It sure looks like they have a good time, I'll tell you. I mean, really.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, it's out of a movie. It's beautiful. I can see the wind gently blowing. I mean, I can even smell flowers in the wind, you know, like honeysuckle. And it's just a beautiful thing. I mean, everybody, the only thing I don't see the brothers, but that doesn't mean they're not there. That just means that
does
in
my
this
mom
limited
or dad
time,
have a message for me or anything of importance?
What I hear is like I keep hearing him saying that things. That you have things set? Do you have things set or taking? Are
no.
you? There's something about you, having things set and taken care of.
I live in housing. I don't have a nickel to my name, and I don't have life insurance. So that's not what I call set.
Maybe that's what they're asking.
Maybe
that
I need to be.
Yes, that it's time for doing that, because that's what it sounds like to me. Because he's shaking, it's like shaking his head, she's not set, or it's not
no.
set.
Yeah.
Now, I can't tell you that without also telling you that things can change, of course. It's not always going to be the same. Life is constantly changing.
Well, a friend of mine, well, I mean, he's not real, real close, but he offered me a job in 2 weeks doing marketing for him, and it would be under the table, but I just don't know if I can count on him. if he'll come through with it. He was one who approached me today. And that would really help me out financially a lot.
What do you think, Barbara? Do you think that guy will come through?
Well, I'm getting a grandmother here on the mother's side. Did you know her?
I've seen pictures of both of them, but all the grandparents were dead when I was born.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean anything. They still know you. She's showing me her hands, and her hands when she passed were very arthritic, and she's showing me her fingers wiggling. And she's saying it's important for you to let your hands work for you a little bit more than you have now. It's important that you put your hands into something, that you become, it's getting your hands busy. Now, your hands feel okay to me. So
yeah.
I'm not feeling any arthritic or anything with it, but it is, what I'm feeling here is that probably by the end of the month into the middle of March is what I'm getting, the pieces of your puzzle falling together, that there is an aspect of you doing, I'm not seeing, you know, a major job, but I am seeing I'm seeing three part-time jobs here, and between the three of them, they make up a full-time job for you.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I sent away for a book. It should be coming this week, and it's things that you can do at home and earn money on, and things like mailing envelopes out, putting together CD cases. It's just for extra money. So I sent away for this book, and you can do as many jobs as you want at a time. And I'm wondering if that's what you're picking up.
I think that's what your grandma is saying, that not only that, but she's saying it's very important for you to start looking for what your passions are. Once survival is okay, once you have some money coming in, it's important for you to, you have gifts and talents that you haven't even started to use yet. And there is an aspect of healing energy here so that at some later date, I would love you to look into...
That I can do healing?
Yep.
Is that what you mean?
I would like you to look into studying, checking out Reiki. But don't do it yet.
I thought of that too.
Well,
that's been on my mind.
Well, clearly it hit my cards. So do take a look at that and understand that you're not meant to be just another person. You are special, and you're meant to be special, and you have to kind of stretch yourself into areas where you can manifest that speciality. Okay?
All right. Thank you, ladies, both of you.
You're very welcome.
I
really appreciate
it.
Yeah,
I want to mention one last thing that sometimes works for people that are at home that have computer skills. You know, like the doctor's office mainly that's all I think about, or the veterinarian, when they go and they're closed, there actually are jobs where you are their call-in service, and they actually just call your home through the computer. So that offers a lot of opportunity also.
I've seen that, too. The scary thing about it is I'm on SSI. I only make $800 a month trying to live off of that. And if I make any more, it's to be reported. And I'm thinking, God, I'm in a hell of a place with that, you know. So don't know how I'm going to maneuver all this, but I've got to make more money.
I'm not seeing this pinch lasting much longer than into April. Now,
that's great.
Now that doesn't mean that, you know, you're winning the lottery, but
no,
I mean you might, but I
$300 more a month would be winning the lottery for me, believe me.
Then you may well be winning the lottery, because I do feel those three jobs will bring in at least that. Okay.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it so much, and you really lifted my spirits.
Thank you again.
Thank you. God bless.
Bye.
Bye.
Keep feeling those fingers of her grandmother. Her grandmother was a pushy old broad. Well, yeah, you know, you see the spirit coming towards you with their hands and their fingers twitching. You're wondering, is she going to tickle me, or is she going to do something obscene?
And you never know. I mean, I am amazed at sometimes I've had male spirits flirt with me, and I'm sure you have too. And then I've had them been mad at me, and I've, you know, the whole from A to Z. But it is very interesting, yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think when first I started to do platform in the spiritualist church, the front row was always, we called them, not to their faces, of course, but we called them the front row biddies. They were the rich people that supported the church, and they got the front row because they were sure that they, you know, would get messages because they put the most money in the collection plates. And I came to one of them one time when I was doing the platform, and I said, I have your husband here. And she folded her arms, and she said, okay. And I described him, and she said, yeah, everybody knew that. And I went further, and she said, yeah, everybody knew that. And I said, really, to test me, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, he had a special way of letting you know he loved you. And she said, okay, maybe everybody knew that. And I said, and you want me to tell you what that was in front of all these people? And she said, go for it. I said, he pinched you in the ass every time he went past you to let you know he loved you. And she said, you have my husband.
How cute.
And I only knew it because he was pinching me in the ass. So, you know.
I know, that's what I mean, or bopping you on the head or all kinds of things. You can feel it. Yeah, that's true.
They really, you know, if it's important that they be identified, they really get out there.
That's true too.
We've got Stacy here. Hi, Stacy. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing? And how's Renee?
We are doing
perfecto.
Well. How can we know?
My question to you is, I just feel like I have so much sadness and I guess disarray in my life and my marriage right now. And I just honestly don't have the strength. I feel like I want to leave my husband. I don't know what to do. And I guess my question to you is, I don't know if I'm not trying hard enough in my marriage, or do I just leave my husband? I mean, I've been thinking of leaving him for over a year, and like I said, I just don't have the strength, and I kind of would like to move to the beach and just move away from all of this.
Okay, well, let me first of all say, I don't think either of us are going to tell you to leave or to stay. But if you do decide to leave, whatever difficulties you are expressing and feeling are going to go right with you. So it's a lot smarter to take care of whatever the issues are inside of you. And get help. I'm not, I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, and I don't think Renee is either, though she has so many credentials, she may well be. But my feeling here from looking at the cards, I can feel you're unhappy. I know you are. But, and the marriage well may have something to do with it, but I strongly urge you to, are you getting counseling of any sort?
I was, and she had suggested that I leave. I just, for some reason, I just don't have the strength to. I don't know why.
Well, I would like you to try another counselor, because I feel strongly that the counselor would be able to help you find the strength for you to do whatever it is you truly do need to do. I think that you have a lot of stuff going on inside of you. I feel that there is a struggle inside of you to find out who you actually are, and I don't think you really, really know right now. So that I would I have to ask one question. He is not beating you, is he?
No.
Okay. Because if he was beating you, I'd say get out the door now, hang up the phone, and go. This unhappiness, I feel strongly that it is not the main cause of it is not your marriage. So I would please find another counselor and try again, because the kind of sadness I feel coming from you comes from childhood almost. And once that is helped to be dealt with, there's a greater lightness of spirit and a clarity of vision, and then quite possibly there can be work that can be done on the marriage. But Renee, what are you getting?
I'm getting kind of that same thing. I feel like I agree. I think you need another counselor. But also, when you say that you just don't have the energy to leave, I think it's what you're really saying. When people are depressed, they don't have any energy. And your energy looks depressed. Have you been treated for depression?
Yes and no. I mean, I start something and then I just don't stay on it just because it makes me tired or just, you know.
Well, I really think you do need medication. But I think this is like a vicious circle. It's round and round, and that's what it looks like when I look at you. In fact, I get dizzy, so give me just a second. My head is just spinning because you're getting depressed because you're in a marriage you're not happy with. Then you get diagnosed with depression, and then you won't take the medication, and so you stay depressed, and then you have no energy or motivation, and round we go. I also think what she said about childhood is very true, and that is connected to your father. And either what you saw as a child or your imprint, you know, that we get from our fathers, and then we go out and we look for those men, whether we realize it or not. You need to get some help in clarifying that. I think when you do and things start to make sense to you, you will find the energy. You're not ready to do really anything yet because, number one, you won't be able to make up your mind and stick with it. And so the best thing you can do is get yourself with another counselor for talk therapy and then get yourself probably back on, and I'm not a big proponent of medication, but I have seen it help, for depression, because what happens is when you keep denying what you really want, you're just going to keep going down and down and down because what you really want in your life, you're denying yourself. Whatever that is, I don't know. You have to figure that out. And you just keep swallowing down things and swallowing down things. And that's how I see it. So I see that you need to break the circle that's going round and round and round. And that is part of your life purpose or challenge or study or whatever is to say, this is not what I want. I want to go in this direction and stand up and roar like a lion and do it. But you don't have the energy because of the depression. So it's just, you see what it is doing. It's just, it keeps happening over and over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you may very well find out that at a certain point, it's not the marriage. It's your perspective of the marriage. It's the way you look at life. It's the way you look at things. So what I always tell people, because, I'm all for if you're not happy, it's time to move on and all that, but I always feel like you need to at least give it a chance, you know, like where you go to counseling or you really have a good sit-down or with him and you let him know who you really are, because I feel like you don't let him know how you feel all the time. So there's all this going on. Yeah.
He's the type of person that is, he's never wrong, he's always right, and it's everybody else's fault.
Right. So no matter what you do, you're wrong. And let me tell you what, that is a form of abuse. It is. That's a verbal and abuse.
He's very verbally abusive to me. He's
holding you down. That's why you feel the way that you do. You're being squished. You're being squashed. You're being held. And you learn that when you were young because your father probably did that to your mother in some form. So you're doing it again. You just have to learn to break that, to understand where it's coming from. Sometimes when you do understand where it comes from, all of a sudden you can feel released from it. There's a book called Women Who Love Too Much. And it's about loving a man that you think you can change or that you're going to change for. It's an excellent book.
I think that all the time. I think that I can change him, but then he just
No. He is who he is. I'm not saying go walk out on him. I'm saying you need to go get help, but you need a different counselor. Barbara's right. You're never going to be set free of this until you do. You're going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Well, the counselor we were going to, he went once, and then we went back a second, or I went back a second time, and she just said, there's no helping him. He is just to the point where it's you, your daughter. It's never him. He doesn't face up to the fact that he can't, I guess he can't, what do I want to say?
Can't accept his own part within it.
Right.
I'm not saying go to couples therapy. I'm saying get a good therapist for yourself to figure yourself out first, and then you can either kick butt or solve the problem or live happily ever after, whatever your choice is. But you will have the strength and the courage to do it.
Because that support is what Barbara is saying from a therapist, where the therapist will say, you know, I understand what you're feeling and you're right. And then you make a step. And that's what you need. That's what it's all about.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, Stacey, you have the telephone number. Call back in and let us know how you're doing.
Okay, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Tough, tough, tough place to be.
Yeah,
I've been there
and,
too.
I was there. And see, she mentioned a daughter too, and I wonder if they're a step family, because that presents a whole new range of problems or little challenges, you know. And I always say that if you're thinking about getting married, and this is just my personal opinion, and you're going to marry a family that, you know, what do they call that, already set up or something like that. You know, he already has family, and they're going to live with you, or even not. You need to go to counseling and talk about who's going to be the disciplinarian, who's going to be this person and that person, because it can destroy a relationship if you
Absolutely.
Don't set that, all out in the beginning. So.
And often, you know, counselors think of things that we don't think of.
I am no counselor, that's for sure. Yeah. But she's caught in that cycle, so.
Oh, yeah. No, I just, you know, this is one of those cases where I have to admit you are beyond my credentials.
Me too.
Okay, we've got a lovely lady here that I absolutely adore. Her name is Queen. Hi, Queen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. What a pleasure to be with both of you today.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. What can we do for you?
Well, I would like to definitely experience your guests once again. I had a message from her once before. And anything that she brings in from spirit, I would appreciate.
Oh, we can do that easy. You're on. Go for it, Renee.
Okay. Do you donate a lot of your time? Do you do volunteer work, or there's something like that you're always giving away? Does that make sense?
I do give away various aspects of me, have done that, clothing, and I've just embarked on a new journey dealing with the mentally different, those who live in other realms, so, and the salary I'm getting is at the moment is like donation.
Yeah, because that was coming across really, really strong. And, you know, your energy, I probably told you last time, I can't help it. It's very strong. You have very strong energy. But it's the divine feminine energy. And it, I mean, you communicate with other realms and beings. And one thing I don't know that you do is it feels like you do healing work, because I'm getting really, really hot. And do you do healing work?
Well, yes, but not in a traditional sense.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I kind of am like that too. And I feel like you also kind of connect into Are you familiar with the I Am presence?
I am that I am, the source of all.
Yes.
Yes.
I know you are. I can feel it. That's what I study too. And you know that that energy lies inside. That's why the way you are, the way that you are. That's why the gold color. That's why the giving. That's why the reaching out. And also what you, I don't know if you're aware that you're doing this, but in a multidimensional way, you are actually working with the grid of the earth. You're holding the vibration at times. I'm not saying you alone, but you work with others on different planes, and that I can see you holding it. Does that make sense to you?
Consciously, I'll accept it, but consciously, it's funny, I was out digging in the earth just before, or while I was waiting to come on, but I'll go for that.
Yeah, there's a connection to the earth, but then it goes even further than that to the grid, because people with a higher light always are here for that vibrational reason, and that is to help the others hold their light. So you donate in certain ways on this plane, but you also donate on other planes and within the grid system. So you're, to me, I see you one way, and then it flips really fast, and I see you another, where you're, like when I look at you now, like you're an emotional body and your mental body are full of gold out on the edges. But when I go to your higher self, that's where I see that you've done an awful lot of work throughout time. Of course, as many reincarnations. The message that I feel for you almost is it's in the heart chakra is so overwhelming that I'm having a hard time catching my breath. And I think that what that is the heart moving into the higher heart through the thymus.
Okay.
I can feel that beat. And that's where you're going. That's where you're going to be vibrating higher at next. Also, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but as people do spiritual work, their base chakra starts to move up. Are you familiar with that teaching?
Tell me more.
Okay.
Please.
When people start to do spiritual work, and either they can be conscious or unconscious of it, what I notice is that their base chakra will actually start to move up. And what happens is all your chakra system actually moves up, where you start vibrating from a different level. And so what happens is when right now, as we ground into the earth, but what happens when our chakra system starts to move up, and like the fourth becomes the fifth and the fifth becomes the sixth, then you start to ground within your heart. And I'm being told that you're almost at the point where you should be grounding within to your higher heart and then into the universal chakra, but do it consciously. And that will solidify things for you even more. So really, your path is going to, I don't know if you do teaching now or what, but your path is going to open up even more for you for that kind of thing.
I'm humbled while you were speaking. Thank you for elaborating on the grid, because that made a I can relate to your deeper expression. But while you were speaking too, I was in front of both you and Barbara, and I had a sword, and I was bended on one knee, which is a very, very humble but yet high position, and the sword was placed before both of you, like, you know, in tribute. So I just wanted to give you that and thank you. And the teaching, I enjoy teaching. I've gathered. I'm a gatherer of knowledge and wisdom and skills of many facets, and I enjoy imparting it to those who want it and will honor it. So
that's why this is so important, because not everybody's moving to the higher heart. Not everybody's chakras are moving up. Not everybody's pituitary and pineal, however you say it, are switching. That's also yours. Hasn't done it yet, but it's also on the verge of that movement too. And so there's many, many higher vibrational things that are happening to people, and we have these leaders amongst us that will help to teach other people how to do it. And really all it is when you do it, it makes it easier for the next person to do it. You know, as we stay centered in our own higher light, it makes it easier for people around us. It actually can make people in our neighborhood, they can get into their own light easier. And that's all it's about. It's about triggering the light. And eventually it'll just trigger, like the grid, but it will be people. So that's what I see. I remember talking to you before, and I remember it was a deep sense of you needing to know a strong purpose of what you're doing and the connections that are being made. Okay?
Yeah, I have to hop in here just
a
little bit. I keep hearing that you are to become a bridge to another dimension. And when I look at your energy, when I see you, I see a dimension, you know, that is beyond this one, obviously. Or it wouldn't be another dimension, but it does feel as though you're reaching forward in time. So, on some level, you are a time traveler. On some level, you have consciousness of what is yet to come, but not in the prophetic sense of the word, where you're going to say, oh, you know, in 2 years this is going to happen, and in 4 years this is going to happen. It's more on the level of the consciousness of humanity and the species of man. And it does feel as though there is writing that absolutely must be done, and in order for you to maintain and solidify this bridge to the other dimension, which feels to me it's the future. In some way, you need to put down your thoughts, your feelings, your wisdoms, so that when others are ready to understand what it is you have to say, it will be there, because you will have already progressed over that bridge into the future. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense, and it brings me to the question I wanted to ask you, Barbara, was about Tahuti. Who is a timekeeper? And if you would speak to me again on my connection with that vibration, that energy.
You were one of the priests that went with him when the temple went down. You were one of the priests that went into Kem. You were one of the priests that were sent out before he went beneath into Amenti the final time that he went down, where he still rests. And you are in many ways connected, because of course he didn't die. He is just in transition. And in many ways it feels like what you have to say is not necessarily you individually, but something that comes from the dweller or from Thoth himself. So and Renee also is into the Emerald Tablets and Thoth as well. So we're not leaving her in the dust here. So you were one of those that went with him into the spaceship that rose up from the temple and that went into Egypt to create a new place of understanding of the light within and the journey that is open to all of us if we choose to take it. So I do believe you have contact with that consciousness.
Well, I am grateful, humbled once again, and the writing is coming. The writing is coming. No doubt about it. Thank you both, and many blessings.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
Oh, truly my pleasure.
She is an amazing lady. She is so cool. I just love her.
She is. And you know the interesting thing about the Emerald Tablets, too, like some people look at those words and they go, oh, my God, you know. And even though there is the interpretation on the right where you can read it, but what I do is I just look at the words, and those words are written in light. And I absorb them that way. But I also use some of the prayers for work. The one where he says, go into a cave and put your hands up and draw a circle around thee. I have that written down. And what I did once is I actually was down at the beach, and I went into a cave, and I did the circle, and I did the whole thing, and had my hands up, and then I called to the seven lords, I think, or 9, 10, I can't remember. And it's an amazing vibration, very high. It feels really good. And I use that prayer also when I want to clear. With some more grounding, and I used a prayer, and the prayer really, really helps because it says to call to the lords, you know, and when you bring in the light, you also bring it in for thy brother and all that, but
it's hard
to read for some people, you know, and so I'm saying to people, you don't have to read it. Look at it paragraph by paragraph and just let your eyes go over the letters, and you can pick up the vibration from it, because
you're absolutely right. And what I found was reading it was one vibration, and reading it aloud was yet another one. And I found it was written. I used the Dorel interpretation.
I do too. That's the one I have. Mm-hmm.
And it just for me it. It's, you know, read it again, and it is funny because we talked about it last night on Chris's show, that it does awaken something, it stirs something within you, and you know, and it leads you to question, and it leads you to research, and it leads you to searching. And basically what Thoth or Tehote did his entire life was search and seek out wisdom. And I'm not telling anybody what the wisdom is, because I don't know. I think everybody's wisdom is different. But I agree. But to be in that mode where you are constantly reaching and trying to find out more things that resonate to you, that go beyond what you've been taught as a child, that gives you a great foundation, but you have to reach beyond it and further in order to take your spirit beyond that and further. So that, you know, you can't...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Don't you think that's why shadow work, you know, working with your own shadow is so important?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think, like, Thoth, or however you say it.
Thoth.
I've never been able to say it correctly, if there is a correct way. Yeah, just see, us just talking about it, do you feel that? Do you feel it?
I do.
It's coming in through the back of the chakras. It's coming in that chakra that's in between the shoulder blades that's called the mouth of God. And I swear, whenever you start talking about that vibration of certain things, it starts this energy.
Now,
and
I don't know.
Like,
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I have a very irreverent relationship to any spirit that works through me or with me or whatever. And I just heard, just call me Fred. So, you know, I don't think he cares what you call him. It's a recognition of the energy.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a very nice energy. It's I was introduced to that a long time ago, and that book probably sat for a good 2 years. I could not pick it up. I could not look at it because I wasn't ready for it. And I put it back down, and then I'd pick it up. And then about 5-6 years ago, I picked it up and got it. You know, whatever I'm supposed to get. I got
I heard about the Emerald Tablets by watching the Learning Channel thing on the Money Pit off the coast of Nova Scotia. And one of the things they were saying was, well, even the Emerald Tablets could be there. And I thought, I've been in this field 50 years. I don't know what they're talking about. And so I Googled Emerald Tablets, and then I was off and running. We've got a lot of people left
okay,
here.
Back to work, young lady.
Yeah. We've got Rachel, who's a first-time caller and has been waiting for an hour and a half. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. It's been a great show. It's been so interesting.
Oh, well, we're so glad you called in. How can we help?
Okay, I know we're running out of time, so I'll make it sort of quick. I want some, if there's any guidance or advice that can come through. I have a situation that could possibly go legal if they don't appease me in some way. I'm actually defending spirituality and the right to serve in churches and still be employed in a workplace. So this is a pretty big thing within the company that I'm doing. And I'm just sort of kind of nervous about how it's going to go.
I've been there.
You
know, it's going to go legal and you're going to win.
Okay.
And it's not going to go legal until September,
mm-hmm.
but you'll get a positive verdict. I mean, it's freedom of religion and it's freedom of speech. They can't stop you.
Yeah.
There's
a few acts they've broken along with it, so they don't have very good feet to stand on at the moment.
They don't have any feet to stand on. And so there will, but I will tell you also, there will be an offer in August of extra compensation to let it go, and then you'll have a moral dilemma. So that will be interesting.
Yeah.
Renee, what are you getting?
I'm getting the same type of thing. There is money involved, right?
There isn't. They basically, it's within a company that I associate with, and I went for a position in that company. And because of my spiritual nature, I was deemed too airy-fairy and not grounded to be, you know, accepted for even the interview, of which the job I had already been promised. And I was being championed by everyone else in the office for this position. I'm not airy-fairy. I'm very grounded, which is why I was made.
Yeah, you sound grounded. You know, though, but I'm with Barbara. I see money. I see an offer also.
Mm-hmm.
I think
okay. They're
going to want to make it go away.
Well, yes, they are, because they're giving the person who's done it a lot of power to ruin the
mm-hmm.
company. So it's their best.
Yeah, they're going to sit back here and they're going to go, oh, and they're going to mm-hmm. say, oh, you know, bad word, and yeah. Just keep playing it cool. And I think the time frame, that's kind of like right around the time frame I'm getting too. But I see money involved. So
okay.
I can't see you losing on this one.
Well, if it comes to the moral dilemma of take a backhander and make it go away or take it to court, I will definitely take it to court.
Good girl.
Yeah,
that's all I gotta say. You gotta stand up.
Well,
what else are you getting, Barbara? You're getting something else.
Yeah, I think that mm-hmm. this is something that is going to allow you to discover great strength within yourself and strength of character. So I think that there is a lot more at play here than just the simplistic stuff. And at some point, like if it's the August time frame, that I see you having a dilemma of some sort. You're going to see that there is there's more at stake here, and you're going to have the choice between making a moral statement or a financial gain.
Yeah. I can see how that would play out. I'll stick with the moral. If I say that enough, I'll do it.
I think you will. Okay, we'll do the little engine that could. I think you will. But I think there's going to be a moment's hesitation here, which, by the way, is tremendously human.
Yes.
So do remember you are human, too.
I do try.
Okay.
Because that was thwarted, I'm not associating with them anymore. Can you see anything career-wise that's coming forth through that?
You want to take it? Or you want me to take it? Or what do you think?
I would say that career-wise, you are in many ways closing doors for yourself, but I feel you're opening up new doors as well. So that taking a stand does close a door, but others open up. So there is a shift in career here after all of the dust settles. Renee, what do you think?
Okay.
I agree with that. I agree that her following through with this, I'm sorry, you, following through with this and doing what you're doing is making a change in your energy and you and giving you extra something that's adding to you, probably confidence and feeling good about yourself and knowing that you're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. This is going to make a change and open you up for a different direction. And so there's going to be doors, just like she said. I feel the same exact thing. Doors opening up, but it's going to be a little different. Maybe something you might not have tried before, you know,
Ooh.
Or thought about. And so because of this happening, this is what's making you broaden your horizon. So, you know, people say, why does this happen to me? Because it's supposed to.
I didn't chart this. Yes, you did. I think this is exciting for you. I really do. I think there's change coming, and change is always fabulous. It means you've outgrown.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I try and look at it all as an adventure, and I just try and make most of it.
I would do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, milk it for all it's worth, because the universe is making shifts and changes. I'd get all you can get on it.
Well, I have already noticed changes through the personality since this has started. So I can see, I can see the strength that's going to be coming through this.
You're
going to
be fine. No, not at all.
Great.
I think this is great.
Yeah. This is great.
Well, thanks for calling, Rachel.
Okay, thank you, ladies. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay,
it's always fun to go a little crooked, too.
Oh, absolutely. A straight line doesn't let you smell any roses at all.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
And you get to where you're supposed to be ahead of everyone else, so you have to sit there and do nothing for a while. So it's no fun at all. Okay, we've got Sandra here. She's already been dropped once, picked back up, and here she is. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Barbara. Hi.
Just dropped, bounced around, thrown around.
Oh.
Well, happily that Chris took care of you and kept track of you.
Yeah.
How can we help?
Well, I've had a very interesting journey, and I just have done a lot. And I seem to have a lot of issues. I actually, the other night, think I went to Atlantis. But it wasn't like I was a human, like a spirit there.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some And it seems that I wasn't really
in
those
feelings.
She's
going in and out. Can you hear her okay, Barbara?
Yeah, she's stammering. She's really there, but she's hunting for words. She had a dream the other night, and she thought she went to Atlantis. And now, go ahead.
Yeah, I actually had sort of a ring, and I went to, but it was like I was a spirit, not really human.
Okay.
At least that's my sense of it.
Well, let me explain that. The Atlanteans were not human. So you may well have been one of them. You are cutting in and out, so we're only getting a little bit of everything you're saying.
Okay.
I'm hoping your question had to do about Atlantis. Did it?
Yeah, well, just whatever comes through, to be honest. So that's,
okay.
Yes, whatever. Yeah, that would be great.
All righty. So first of all, the Atlanteans were not indigenous to this planet. I think that they were giants, among other things. So I don't know how Renee feels about that, but Kopp keeps talking about little people, and I kind of figure that must mean that he was bigger than most of them, so that would kind of make him a giant. But that's
interesting. Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I kept finding it in different places, not like the little people around now, and I'm thinking, damn, they were giants. Anyhow, I do feel that it's not surprising that you're short-circuiting because you have a very high energy, and I do feel that you probably drain batteries, that you probably make lights go on and off, that you probably confuse people totally with your energetics. And you probably feel like you don't belong here. You probably feel like you're an alien, and I would say you probably are. So you have an energy that is intense, that is amazing, but intensity is what I feel the most. When you plunge into something, you plunge in so deeply that people can't find you for a while. You burn out friends rapidly and relationships rapidly. There is a hunger inside of you that I have a term that I use often, and it has become hackneyed, but I'm going to use it again anyhow. You're driven and you don't know where you're going. So that what's going on here is you have a shift of energy that's going on. I think you just got another spurt of it. You just got another upload, charge, whatever you want to call it. And it feels like you feel as if you're going to go crazy. Is that accurate?
Well, I don't really. Yes. So that. Yeah.
Okay.
That's sort of.
So you've got this huge intensity. You know you have a purpose. You don't know what it is. You know you are here for a reason. You don't know what it is. And in many ways, that kind of frustrates you greatly. I can say that you're on the right pathway. I can say that, spiritually speaking, that you are going in the right direction. And I can tell you that there are three major projects that you're going to be working on over the next year, that each of them has a little bit to do with the purpose of this lifetime. And this is a very long lifetime for you, a very long one. Renee, what are you getting?
I am getting that you are visiting different dimensions of time at night, that you caught that one, but there's been other things going on. So I do agree with the energy. You have very strong energy. Are you up north? You're not. Are you in the U.S.?
No, I'm.
Yeah, it feels like you're. There's something about people who are from Canada, right? Is that where you're from? They have the most interesting energy. Some of them, and yours is different. Okay, so I agree with that. You are carrying this energy. I also. Wouldn't be shocked if you caught yourself in different places also. You know, I don't know that much about the Atlanteans, but I do know that when I travel in my spirit body or astral body or whatever you want to call it, it looks a certain way. And either it can look like just white light or I can look human. So, and I can change that however I want to look when I travel. I kind of think that's what you're doing, but you don't know you're doing it. And if I were you, I would keep a dream journal so you could write that down. Did you have a profound feeling about it? Did you feel it anywhere in your body?
No. Not like...
Because usually, like, when somebody has a dream that they have an emotional attachment to, they'll feel it. They'll feel it in their stomach, or they'll feel it in their heart, or they just feel it somehow. But if it's got more of a mental aspect to it, you won't feel it as much. But I feel like this is going to keep happening to you, and it's going to get more intense. It's not going to be freaky or anything. It's just something, write it down and keep notes about it. Because I think you are kind of going through past life stuff and you're revisiting. And it, you know, I'm the believer where time is happening now. Everything, all at once. And I think you're just out checking out yourself in different lifetimes. That's what
yeah,
I think.
Well,
actually.
And Sandra, I have to ask, have you ever felt, you know, while you're in bed, have you ever suddenly caught yourself and felt like you were falling and suddenly jerked awake?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's you coming back into body from astral traveling.
Yes, that's very true. People sometimes think they're possessed because their bed's moving, and really they're coming back into their body, you know, after they've been out running around. Everybody does it.
What I was going to say is that actually I was doing some past life regressions. That's what these were.
Mm.
That was where I went to Atlantis. And I did another one where I've been doing them because I need to clear. I want to be a better conduit and clear myself. And I had another one where I saw and the man was killed, and I was feeling for the horse. I mean, I'm an empath, but I really felt for the horse. But it was like the man wasn't really a man. It was like a stick man or something. But the man was killed. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it wasn't dreaming. It was just very
profound. So it's you being guided through meditation into past lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, because you're going in and out. We have a hard time hearing you, so I think we're kind of patching it together. yeah. You're just experiencing that. And I think that's a good thing to let go of some of that. Are you able to take your own self through a guided meditation to a past life or just when somebody else takes you?
No, I haven't been able to do it. No, I'm working with some people and learning one, so I'm hoping to be able to do that. And the other thing was I had a ET experience where I just was healed from it. Implanted by the Browns. So,
I know nothing of that. Barbara, do you know about that? I mean, I see ETs, but I don't ever see anybody they don't do anything to me. So
I have to admit I've had experiences too, but I've never been implanted. I joke about it all the time, but I never have been.
I wouldn't be happy if they implanted me.
I wouldn't either. But I do feel your energy is sealed at this moment in time, so I do feel you're fine.
No. Great now. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're totally fine. And I'm seeing you doing a lot of traveling at night in your sleep as well, so I think Renee's absolutely right. A dream journal is absolutely imperative for you.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's more coming.
Yeah.
I see a big dream state coming where you're going to be doing a lot more of that.
Okay,
because you've initiated it through the regressions. the soul's going, oh, that's what you want to do? Okay, here it comes. And
now
so
watch
in
out.
Your dream state, yeah, in your dream state, you're going to start boogieing down that astral plane road.
Yeah.
The only thing about going into past lives too much is sometimes we can get so wrapped up in past lives we forget which life we're in this time. So make sure you're grounded and make sure, you know, you're working from your heart and your pillar of light, and that's where you're coming from.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's great.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Okay. Hold on, Renee. Don't hang up yet. I just want to thank everybody for being here, and thank you especially, because it was such a pleasure and an honor to work with you today. And I'm going to drag you back. You were fun.
And you know, I enjoyed it too. I really did. I was nervous about it, and you're actually helping me learn not to be so nervous. But why is it? Do you think that when I see you, I swear when I saw your picture, I did not associate that picture with how I see you. You know Nancy Pelosi, that color brown
hair?
Yeah. That's how I saw you.
Wow. No,
yeah,
that's me.
What's up?
That's really me. That's a current picture that was taken in June.
No, I know, and I think you're absolutely beautiful and a shining star, but it is the most oddest thing, so we'll have to talk about that next time. But,
yes.
Yeah,
we sure will. I'm going to pull you into the green room for just a few minutes, and so don't go away.
Okay.
Want to thank everybody for being here. You've been a great chat room, as always. There is a show on Wednesday from 4 to 6 with Nick Fox, and I have Jen Young on Thursday from 4 to 6 for an interview show, and then on Friday, Jen is going to be on from 8 to 10 with me, and we're going to be doing readings. So it's a whole week of Barbara. Aren't you guys just lovely and fortunate? And nothing tomorrow. But do catch Chris's show, Curious Times, 10 to 12 every evening. And James, our James, is going to be on her show tomorrow night, Tuesday. So do tune in especially for that one. So good night, everybody, and thanks so much for being here.